Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another sexy episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into a hot, scintillating movie. I'm your smooth-talking host, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and hey, Freddie, my mom listens to this podcast, so
can we dial it down a little bit?
Sorry.
This is Matt Arona. I just want to say a special shout-out to Mrs. Campos out there. I'm glad you're listening. We're about to get... This is going to be a very romantic Valentine's for all the husbands and wives out there.
Hey, folks, just a little bit heads up. It's Valentine's week, which means that we're doing a very sensual episode. So if you got young children, if you're listening somehow to this podcast with young children in the room...
Keep listening because you're going to learn.
Keep them in there. Turn it up. Put some headphones on them because we're going to get saucy tonight.
Mom, get out now.
I wish you were listening.
So we're going to do a Valentine's Day romance thing. So we were struggling to figure out how to do this. And I stumbled upon an article by L. O'Brien, a computational scientist, entitled Romance Novels Generated by Artificial Intelligence. And what L did was she took 20,000 Harlequin romance novel titles, fed them into a neural network, and had a computer generate, I assume through Markov chains, titles.
Are there 20,000 Harlequin?
Oh, there's far more than that. What we've done is this. In the 20 minutes before recording this podcast, we've all gone through this list and been just chuckling to ourselves. And
why don't you give the good people at home a taste of some of the examples of what this...
So this is what the neural network came up with. For example, Mediterranean baby, the baby pregnancy, the unlikely baby.
Of my favorites. The man for Dr. Husband. The prince's virgin's virgin.
So it's basically a rogue AI mashed up a bunch of weird Harlequin romance titles.
And we're going to try and make a movie out of that.
I was a big fan of His Final Santa, Christmas with a Tycoon.
Blackmailed Baby, Pregnant for the Rage. There's a lot of very good titles, and
we've all secretly chosen one, and we're going to decide via dice roll who gets to throw theirs in so that nobody's disappointed.
This dice roll is going to decide which story we have to break for this. Yeah, I mean, Hallmark just called us, and they're like, hey, they only have 3 Valentine's Day movies, and that's not enough.
That's not enough.
So they need a fourth. And we're going to have... Okay, here we go. So I'll be 1 and 2. Freddie, you're 3 and 4. Will, you're 5 and 6. Will, what is it?
Okay, I picked The Surgeon's Baby Surgeon.
Okay, wait. Say that again.
The Surgeon's Baby Surgeon. The Markov chain, like the AI had this weird thing for surgeons and had a zillion titles about surgeons. So our episode is The Surgeon's
Baby Surgeon.
I have to type this out so I can
see it. It's not The Surgeon's Baby's Surgeon. The Surgeon's Baby Surgeon. It was between that and Sex Revenge.
Can we say what we chose also?
You guys chose.
I chose the billionaire's marriage valley.
Mine was Christmas pregnant paradise.
Oh shit. It's the surgeons.
Yeah.
And what is the surgeon's? It's his baby surgeon, right? That's the way.
But baby is an adjective for surgeon.
So the surgeon has... Okay,
the surgeon has another surgeon who is a baby.
Yes. Okay, that is very good.
And the baby looks at the surgeon and goes, I cannot operate on this surgeon, for he is my son.
How is this possible?
How is this possible?
But to be clear, this isn't Boss Baby. This can't be a goofy DreamWorks. This is a sexy movie. So we got to figure out how
this is a romantic movie.
Yes, romantic. Yes.
All right, everyone.
Valentine's
Day clock starts right now.
I'm trying to imagine the cover because... For those of you out there who don't know, which is probably all of you, my wife loves reading Harlequin romance novels. Not because she's unsatisfied or anything. She very much enjoys them. But I love looking at the covers. The covers are all amazing, and they also do have great titles. And part of the fun is when she's in bed reading them, I just look at the cover and I try to guess what's in them. And you can usually tell because the titles, the covers are so evocative. So
yeah.
I'm trying to think of what is this?
Okay.
What is the cover of this look
like? I'm picturing a pregnant surgeon and they're like somewhat like there's another pregnant surgeon who has a stethoscope up to the other pregnant surgeon's belly.
Okay. So let's talk about, oh, here, okay. So first things first, you need forbidden romances.
And yep, forbidden. Romances. It has to be
so
forbidden.
Definitely, so let's just start trying to figure out these kind of like trees here. Let's figure out, like, you got the patient. The patient's got to be one of the sexy, right? You have we're a surgeon.
At, it seems like we're in a hospital scenario.
Yes, this is yes, like this is obviously sexy. That's decided. It's a surgeon. Ooh, it could be war surgery. It could be somebody out on the battlefield. You get some sexiness there. You also get you get the soldier on the other side, and the soldier on your own side is like, are you fighting for liberty and your country or for love? You don't know. So
yeah, nothing quite steams your buns like the idea of World War I.
You know what? Love's everywhere. Can love bloom on a battlefield? Dumb question, Metal Gear Solid. Of course it can, and that's what we're going to do here.
The surgeon's baby. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. The surgeon's baby surgeon.
So, like, I'm thinking, like...
No, okay, I'll throw this out there. This feels like a cheat. Mm-hmm. It could be the surgeon... Okay, bear with me.
Yeah.
Okay, This is for real.
Yeah.
This is for the win.
Okay.
You have a surgeon.
Yes.
The surgeon has a baby.
Yes.
The baby gets sick and needs an operation. But that baby is tiny. So you need a specialized surgeon to perform surgery on the baby, right?
Okay. Yeah,
and this surgeon, our first surgeon, is like, listen, I think I know how to do surgery. And then the second surgeon's like, you don't respect me because I'm a baby surgeon. But a baby surgeon's what you need right now to mend your child and to mend your inner child with romance.
Let's not mend your inner child with adult sexuality. But yes, okay, so what you're talking about is a pediatric...
Your inner boy needs to become an inner
so
man.
So what you're suggesting is that the title is referring to a pediatric surgeon, not literally a surgeon who is between the ages of 0 to 2 years old. That's going to be easier to deal with.
Okay, because you have a hot shot neurosurgeon, right? This is like Matt and I just watched Chicago Fire this morning, and we were which we enjoyed very much because we're doing research on a super secret thing. But they have like this whole beef between like the rescue firefighters and like the, I don't know the term, but the truck guys.
Yeah.
The guys who drive the fire trucks. That like the normal firefighters and like, ooh, you look out for my firefighters, I'll look out for yours. So yeah, you have this surgeon who's like this neurosurgeon, right?
Yeah.
And she's this martini swilling, arrogant, hotshot surgeon, like in the Stephen Strange mold. And then there's this other surgeon and she's like, you're just a fucking baby surgeon. Like pediatric surgeons, please, you're just a baby surgeon.
Yeah.
Like you do surgery for babies.
I like, okay, I'm imagining this character because I'm trying to think of like the most, because you want that 50 Shades of Grey, you want that luxury and that, you know, wealth also in here. So you get this like, I imagine.
Surgeons are wealthy.
Surgeons
exactly.
are very
so
wealthy.
So I'm imagining, I don't know why my brain just went to this, but I like the idea that this surgeon is in love with this other surgeon and you're definitely against protocol for the person who is operating on your child to fall in love with you. So yes, what I imagine is that this is, some neurosurgeon. It's this hotshot woman surgeon. Maybe, you know what? She's got it all. She doesn't need anything. She's even a lesbian and she has her own kid. She's a single mom who's got
maybe even something as crazy as that.
No. I'm saying that but I imagine she got the baby because she's like, I got it all. What, I don't have a kid. I should probably have a kid. I already have 5 Lambos. Maybe I'll have a kid. And she doesn't even like,
surgeons aren't necessarily 5 Lambo rich. I'm just gonna throw that out.
No,
there.
But this is the hottest surgeon. This is the surgeon who operates on the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's her client at the beginning.
Yes. She saves the president of the United States.
It's like all in the days.
She's President Hillary Rodham Clinton in the third of our Hillary Clinton movies.
And they're like, and she's like, are we done? And the assistant's like, we stopped the beans. Like, great. Now bring me to hospital because I'm about to give birth. She was doing it while she was fucking
God.
9 months pregnant. That's how hard ass she is.
Now, to be fair, like in general, for those of you who have medical school friends, know this, that the surgeons are, that fits the mold of like surgeons generally being very type A and very, like, you know, to be a surgeon almost has that sort of attracts that type of person. So I think I buy it.
Okay.
So we've got our hotshot surgeon.
What I think is, yes, the child gets sick, which she doesn't deal with well because she's a perfectionist. How could her baby not be perfect? Right? You got to get her somewhere to learn. It's like she doesn't. And yes, I feel like her first response is like, I'll perform surgery on this baby because I'm the best in the world. Nobody can do it better than me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, you need to go. Yeah. Eventually people talk her down and they're like, fine, we'll go get the best baby surgeon. They're like, you mean pediatric surgeon? And she's like, they don't deserve that name. Baby surgeons aren't real surgeons. And then the baby surgeon she meets is the first romance. Yeah. But you need the other.
I think, by the way, there's the ability to have, like, you know, there's the support staff, there's the various nurses and other doctors in the hospital, and there's also I like the idea of a hospital administrator getting in the mix.
I was about to say, dude, we had the same thought. Quick question, everybody. I want to take a quick check. How sexy do we want to get with this, with this movie?
What did you have in mind?
Well, yes, I think definitely the baby is the head of the hospital's baby, which is why, which is top secret, but she wanted to keep it.
She was a lesbian. I thought we were saying we were going to do a
surrogate.
Yo, I said, how sexy we can get with this, because she falls in love with a woman. What? She can't go both ways. She can't have the. Maybe she just wanted a baby in the first place. So she used a hospital administrator, but he's personal. So he's putting her down the job. She's like, hey, why am I assigned for all this bullshit surgery? She's like, I don't know. Why don't you? Are you taking this seriously? Are you upset because I'm keeping a baby? And she's like, why don't you love me?
Okay, hold on. Could you explain how this?
Okay,
I don't understand.
So you have the hospital administrator.
Mm-hmm.
She used him because she wants to have a baby, but she's a lesbian and she lied to him. And the hospital administrator is now furious at her and doesn't understand this. And you also said that she's somebody who uses people for what she wants. And then she's going to fall in love with the baby surgeon. So you're going to have this little three-way romance.
Let's get some names in here.
But you need another, she's going to be a lesbian, you need another lady.
Right. So let's get some names in here. I have Courtney Fortier, Courtney, as one of our Twitter users who have offered.
I feel so weird using somebody's real name for this main character, because she's gonna have a lot of sex.
Me too. I don't know. It didn't strike me until just get how weird and buck wild this story might get. That I don't. I just.
Courtney, we'll use your name in another thing.
We'll make you a cool ass kicking martial artist in a
the baby's name
movie
is Courtney. Baby Courtney.
Baby Courtney.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Baby Courtney.
Ooh, bullet dodged.
I can't promise baby Courtney's not going to get wild by the end of this either. Don't know how crazy. These books get wild, gentlemen. It's funny because I was thinking it's like maybe you end it with just like Twilight and the administrator looks at the baby. He's like, in 18 years, I will love you. I don't know if you watch Twilight, but that's what happens with
werewolf. The werewolf falls in love with like a four-year-old or something.
No, with the baby. She gives birth to the baby and he looks at her and then he flashes forward. He's like, that's the love of my life. I'm going to marry her when she's
18. It's so romantic.
Yeah, it's very romantic.
So we've got the evil hospital administrator.
Yes.
I could also see, instead of doing that, like she lies to him, like you could do like, it's a, like she's like, yo, I'm like, I want to have a baby. Like, it's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like those sitcoms do this a lot where then it's like, she's like the, like, she takes a, she gives him like, she's like, look, I think, you know, your genes and you're like a, you know, like they come to some sort of agreement about this, but then like he falls.
Let me
for
ask
her
you
something,
Will. All these characters need to be deep down pretty bad people, because this is how you get sexy. When the administrator comes in, what do you want the scene to be? Do you want him coming out of the steamy shower with his shirt off being like, you fucking lied to me and that's my baby. I'm going to the court. Or do you want to be like, hey, we had a very mature conversation ahead of time and I am getting a little emotionally attached to the child, which I didn't think so ahead of time. Could we talk about this? No, you want
betrayal.
Yeah,
can we renegotiate the contract that we drew up?
You want all these people to be betraying each other left and right, and the only way they can settle it.
Under the sheets, baby.
The sheets.
Okay.
But either way, okay,
put a fork in it for now. But let's go, okay, it's good to. So again, you got your dynamic. You've got the bad boy hospital administrator.
Yeah.
His dad owns a hospital chain.
He's young.
Yeah,
he's young and he's got those perfect genes, and that's why she wanted him. She's like, you're smart, you're young, you're physically fit, you seem like the perfect match for my child.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't say no. He can't believe that a woman wouldn't want him. So he just keeps pursuing her after they have their sex, which is just for his child.
Mm-hmm.
This guy sounds gross. Okay. His name is Will.
All right, we're just playing ourselves
very fast
and
loose on this. But let's just say, I'm just writing bad boy hospital administrator.
I'll be the bad boy hospital administrator.
Okay,
I'll sacrifice my name onto that pile. And then you have we have our hotshot neurosurgeon.
Yes,
right?
The main character.
Yeah. The one brain she can't figure out is her own.
Nice.
Dang.
Nice.
Or you do, she's a heart surgeon.
No, no, she's a neurosurgeon. She's been operating on brains, but she should be learning to operate on hearts.
Hey, real quick, just a quick heads up. Anybody who's in medical school, we don't know how that works. Can you do that?
Can you just do both?
Can you just do both? I don't know.
Did you just have a scene where like they're like, Jess, we need you to do a heart. And she's like, I'm pretty rusty on hearts. All right, so
her name is Artemis.
Artemis,
yeah,
sure.
The Huntress.
Artemis, what's her last name?
Artemis.
Artemis Blade.
This is
the
like
neurosurgeon
fiction now.
With piercing blue eyes and raven dark hair.
Artemis Blade is a fucking dope name. Okay, Artemis Blade. I was going to throw something else because you need
the
that
bad
like
Marvel who's, character.
Well, who's the other girl? Who's the pediatric surgeon?
Who's the baby surgeon?
Wait, that's the main. I want to get one other sexy romance in there, which is you need that sumptuous young either maid or assistant who works under her. That's like her. That's just like the way she gets off all the time.
I don't know. You're getting weird now.
That is, dude. Okay.
So she has like a booty call. Is what you're
saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So
I want to read.
How
these
many
books
of these
Will.
Books have you read, Matt?
I like these trashy romances, and I've watched a lot of soaps. And like I said, my wife reads a lot of these books, and they are all very fun. This is what I imagine. It's like Doctor Strange. If Doctor Strange knew how to freaking like get off every once in a while, she should have something that right. She is somebody who's gotten everything she's wanted. Mm-hmm. This is who she is. She is. But she's hiding. She's been hiding something from herself because she hasn't found somebody that she loves yet. And whether or not you want to do that, she hasn't. You know, she hasn't.
I would make. Okay. Gotten, yes.
She hasn't come out or whatever.
This,
I don't know.
You
but,
have this meaningless relationship. She's in at the beginning. It's
yes.
just meaningless sex, right? Yes. And it's just like this kind of again, it's the person she's all, you go because you want to show she's a heartbreaker, right? Like
yes.
the so yeah, I would make a paramedic at the hospital.
Okay.
So you have the paramedic, you have the pediatric surgeon, you have the evil hospital administrator, and we have our main hotshot neurosurgeon.
Okay. Bad boy hospital administrator is named Will, which right now we're saying that he is the
father of the baby.
Father of the baby,
yeah.
Which he did as a favor or whatever.
Yeah.
Because she wanted a child.
Yeah.
And she's, look, I am very quickly setting up pitfalls that we have to avoid later.
Yeah.
But it's getting into just the basic structure of this, like.
I will say this.
Because, like, you're right. The stuff I don't want is I don't want to be like, she's a successful neurosurgeon. What she ultimately needed was love or family or, you know, she didn't have, a hardworking woman can't have time for a baby. So she, like all that stuff.
Okay,
but like,
can I throw something at you? Because here's what I was going to say. Though it just seems weird to me that she's going to have sex with this guy to have a baby and then not tell him. It just seems like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Like that she's. So here's what I would suggest. Bear with me.
Yeah.
He is. They had this handshake deal, right?
Yeah.
Where she was like, look, I need DNA, right? You can be the father of my baby, whether they even had sex or not. Like it's, there was this thing, right? But so what you do is his dad is this billionaire medical tycoon,
yeah.
right? And he's dying.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't give the inheritance to his son unless his son has a kid, right? His brother who has a family is going to get all of the mm-hmm. money, right? And he gave up this kid for adoption,
yeah.
right? So like, or it's like he's like, I don't want to have anything to do with the child. So, but now he's like, I want that baby.
Ooh, now Will's getting in that
okay.
soap, that
something
soap,
like that.
Soap
yeah,
mindset.
No, that's good. There's a reason why. I also feel like she threatened to leave essentially if he wouldn't give her because she's like, you are the best choice. You are so, like, she had to like, you know, you're like, you're smart, you're intelligent, and you are handsome.
Yeah,
I want your child,
mm-hmm.
But I don't want you involved. Well, he did because he needs to get his dad an heir.
He found out about that later. I think he's just got a thing for her.
Okay.
And then so he was like, sure, I ain't going to say no to a free lunch or whatever. And then he. Oh, we are way out on a limb right now. Oh, boy. So I don't know.
Look,
maybe
this is all sex positive. This is grown adults having sex.
Just using sex as a transaction. All right.
Yeah.
So, okay, and then, he's got this thing for her, you know, and he's a creep, and he doesn't respect her sexuality or her boundaries or anything like that. So he's this asshole. He's the villain of the piece. All right, we got to get back to the baby gets sick. Where were we on that? Like, that was the whole, that's the surgeon's baby surgeon. We've talked about everyone but the baby surgeon.
No, we were getting to baby Courtney. We were getting to the idea that baby Courtney was sick. Which again puts her, it reminds me there's a good, in Parks and Rec, like there's a story where Rob Lowe finds out he has like a little bit of cholesterol and he goes insane because mm-hmm. he like eats perfectly and has the realization that, and it's like, he realizes he's not immortal. So like to me, it feels like this is a person who's always succeeded in everything and as screwed up as it is, but this often happens is like this baby being sick, I think it makes her question, like she's like, how could this have happened? Like, I am perfect. The man I got the genetics from is also perfect. How can this baby be sick? Mm-hmm. And she's used to, she always defies God, right? That's her job, mm-hmm. is to defy God at all times.
To snatch life from the jaws of death.
Yes. And here it is that, yes, her baby has this very dangerous, whatever, immune disorder or something that they have to perform surgery on.
They have to perform a baby surgery.
A baby surgery.
We need immediate baby surgery on this baby.
And part of her growth is going to be realizing that she's going to have to accept, for somebody who's never said she's not good enough for anything, mm-hmm. she's going to have to accept at a certain point that she's not good enough at this specific surgery to save her own child.
Yeah.
And for a while, maybe, I don't know, it's weird that it's like, for a while she's like, I'm still going to do it. And she's like too proud to admit, but she's putting her baby's life at risk. And then she falls in love with baby surgeon. I don't know.
Yes. Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, because let me ask you this, Matt, as a purveyor of fine Harlequin romances, do people have arcs? Do they end in?
Yeah. It's like the cowardly soldier who runs away from the front line and meets the medic who, you know, is trying to help out in the war, and then the guy gets his courage back and
they
fuck right before he goes back to the battlefield, but then she charges in after him and the two of them fight back to back or whatever. It's like they're stories. Like they wouldn't work if they weren't stories. They all got something. They got, you know, the rich girl who doesn't appreciate the, you know, the poor gentleman outside that says hi to her every day, and then, you know, she takes him in and first mistreats him because she's just a servant, but then ooh, maybe he's attractive, and they start getting, you know, and then she's using him, and then he's like, you don't understand what's really going out there on the street. You don't appreciate your subjects or whatnot, and then, you know, then they fuck. Like, that's essentially
the way those
stories work.
Yeah.
Okay, so the baby surgery,
but we can make this a little sweeter.
No, I mean, I'm just, but I, no,
keep
I think
going,
we're,
keep going, keep going.
We're,
keep
again,
going.
You're talking to act one again. Like, it's, yeah. you know, we're gonna get to the end where she's had her growth or whatever. But it's like the baby surgeon.
Baby surgeon.
Who is the baby surgeon? Who do you pair up against? You know, the hotshot neurosurgeon.
It's a baby surgeon from the rival hospital. Do they have those?
She's from rival hospital.
From rival hospital across the tracks.
They similarly, not the same thing. There's weirdly enough, there's kind of a story, non-romantic whatsoever, like this in Scrubs also, where Dr. Cox is like, you know, the big hotshot doctor in that show. And he has a kid, and his kid starts getting coughs. And he doesn't know what to do, and he wants to bring it to like the best. He brings it to the best pediatrician, and this guy's like, you know, he's got like stuffed animals and dolls, and he doesn't respect him. And he's like, you know, never mind. Like, I'm not going to leave my kid with you. And the guy's like, all right, like, you know, I'm.
Oh, so she's got our baby surgeon. She's got like she works with kids.
She's a baby whisperer.
She's goofy. She's got like a Patch Adams type thing going on, right?
But when she gets those blades out and shit. Well, yeah, because it's all bedside manner. She like knows how to calm down the kids before they go into surgery. I mean, I guess baby's like a baby, so I don't know.
Well, she's a baby whisperer. She goes up and just whispers, and the baby stops crying. It's like, how do you do that?
You do that scene like at the end of Speed Racer, and they're like, if she dumps the baby into fifth gear, she could save its life. Does she know that? And she just goes up to the baby. She's like, what do you need?
I was about to say that difference. Yeah, we don't know anything about surgery. I was like, the difference with baby surgery and normal surgery is that the babies can't tell you what they're feeling. I'm like, wait, people aren't awake during surgery.
Well, actually, no. Hold on. Sorry. Just want quickly to step in. They do keep you conscious for a lot of brain surgery.
Do they ask you questions like, how does it feel?
Yes, they do things like move your hand, because that's how they know where they are in your brain. Like, they'll have you like do things like, okay, the moment that you like can't do X, okay, we hit this part of the brain.
Guys, I don't know if you know this, but I know a lot about brain surgery. I just didn't know I knew. So they do that shit. We're just going to take no afraid. We're just saying that you know.
All right. So, okay. Again, the Patch Adams vibe, I like that.
Yeah.
What's her living situation? What's her deal, right? Like, is she, did she maybe, like, you know, she's getting over a breakup, or like, again, like, she's a widower, or she, you know, like, what do you give her? Like, what's her thing? Right? Because the other girl's got to, like, you know, admit that she doesn't have control over the entire universe, right?
The classic would be, and maybe we fall back on this a lot, but it would be, again, you could make her very Amelie-esque, or very, like, you could do is, like, they hang out or whatever, and she's got this, like, kind of trashy apartment. It's like, you're a surgeon, and it's like, you find out, it's like, she donates all of her money to charity. She does social stuff outside. Like, she works 24/7. You know, even though she is every bit, like, you know, the national, like, you know, top pediatric surgeon, like, she doesn't live that lifestyle at all, and then there's something underneath. Like, why doesn't she embrace, like, her, you know, the wealth and fame she's gotten? Like, why is she, like, stuck in this, like, you know, Which is like, you know, she should be more selfish or whatever. But there's like, maybe there's something that like hurt her back in the day.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, could you do, like, she, again, because you have this other character who's very confident, yeah. right? Do you have someone, again, who should, by all rights, be, have a lot of self-esteem and be very proud of herself yeah. and what she's accomplished, but she's not? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, or like, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Like, what are you, like, the...
I feel like a surgeon is going to be pretty confident at their yeah, surgery thing.
It kind of, it's like that, yeah. Could you do she's in a relationship?
Oh, well, yeah, that's classic. Yeah,
yeah, and then she, but the girl she's with is like, I don't know, like it's just a bad relationship or doesn't appreciate her or something like that.
Okay, so we got a little love triangle. Okay, so just to clarify, we have this hotshot surgeon.
Yes.
Yes.
Who's a woman.
Yes.
Who's having a baby.
Yes.
We'll figure out how she got that baby in a second, whether she's in a relationship with, and we're saying she's a lesbian.
Yes.
Okay. She has a baby. Is she in a relationship right now?
Is she in a relationship? We were talking about maybe she's hooking up with the
She's got
paramedic.
A casual relationship.
Yeah, casual relationship with a paramedic.
She's got a casual relationship with, we'll maybe say paramedic. I feel like it should be something like, I feel like she's got like, a, if she's working 24/7, I feel like she has some, I feel like she, if she is somebody who is working 24 hours a day, more or less, like her.
It's going to be
her,
someone else at the hospital.
Or, no, it'd be somebody who's got time on their hands. Somebody who's like, somebody who's there for her when she needs her, not somebody that when she's like, she's finally has 1 hour off at 3 a.m. on a Saturday, she calls up, she's like, oh, I'm a paramedic, I'm doing a bunch of shit too. It's like a fucking local theater artist or somebody who is chill and is very clear the relationship is not casual.
Like
or
artsy
something.
Fartsy type.
Yeah. Someone. Anyways,
whatever, someone. Yeah. Cow's relationship.
Okay.
Then the act, the inciting incident of the story is that her baby is sick is what yes. we're saying. Because yeah. we're saying that this is a pediatric surgeon, not a baby surgeon. Which, unless we want to change that really quickly.
No, she's a neurosurgeon.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying we're definitely talking about a pediatric surgeon, not a surgeon who is 2 years old.
Yeah, no, I think yes, that would yes, upend the movie yeah, we're building right now.
It would okay. be Boss Baby all of a sudden.
Okay. So she has a sick baby.
Yeah.
And she meets the pediatric surgeon.
What if, hold on, throwing a zigzag on you,
okay.
the pediatric surgeon is her old flame from medical school.
Okay.
Throwing that, that's all I had. And they broke up. And
they broke up.
They broke up. And I don't know what happened. And this is okay. like a, I don't know. I'm just throwing that, I'm just chucking that in there, chucking it into the stew. Okay. I'm also just like stripping aside all of our hospital, all of our palace intrigue for yeah. a second. Like, what is the relationship arc between these two people? And like, what is the, like, do you do, she's like, damn it, I got to do this surgery on my own. And then like, she's trying to train in like the surgery simulator with like a VR.
Well, that's why I like getting to, I mean, that's what, I mean, the inherent, like what I like about if you have this, like, if you do this Patch Adams character, like, because you'd want, like, what's the difference in their, like, personalities that causes conflict and what does that, you know, do for each other? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how do they learn from each other or whatever? And again, you already have, like, inherent, like, they should not be in a relationship if she is her baby surgeon. Like, I'm pretty sure that's against ethics, like, hospital ethics. So you already have, like, you know, a little bit of, like, forbidden love there. So it is, like, why...
Do you do... I don't know, just to throw another angle out there. Do you do maybe that actually, like, slow roll a little bit? What if her baby getting sick is, like, more like your third act or your fourth act crisis? Mm-hmm. Like, what if you do the start of it is just like this, like, who's the new surgeon at this hospital, this hotshot mm-hmm. baby surgeon, right? And, you know, like, you do, I don't know. Like, does it need to be like that? And then you let, it's like an office romance thing that then, like, again, like, your sort of big crisis becomes the baby surgery. I don't know.
I wish any of us had a kid.
I was coming back. I wish any of us had read a Harlequin romance novel.
Well, now I'm like going to like, I could also see this being like a tearjerker, like a, you know, a three hanky picture where it is like, right? It's not like you perform surgery and it's done. It's like her kid can be really sick and you're talking about like, this is, you know, I mean, I've had cousins who had like real problems with a child. Mm-hmm. And it's like some of those diseases can be. You're talking about a year or two of being constantly in the ER occasionally and, like, multiple surgeries, right? Not every surgery is one thing and you're done. Like, especially babies are developing and their bodies are changing drastically over the course of 2 years. So this also could be, like, a series relationship that is, like, it starts and, like, she doesn't trust the surgeon and, like, you know, she keeps seeing her, like, month after month and, like, they're slowly developing this romance and then, you know, either – and then you discover that the stupid thing would be, like, the baby lives but, like, the surgeon didn't tell her that she has cancer and the surgeon's gonna die at the end of the movie, like once they profess their love, or whatever. I don't know.
Okay, just like I want to go back to like fundamentally what I think works.
Yes.
I think this neurosurgeon, she's a hot shot Yes. She wants it all. She's like, I'm going to have a kid. And I'm going to fucking crush it. Single mom, going to nail this thing.
Yeah,
right?
She's
like,
freaking she's rocking the world.
Kicking the world's ass right now, right? And then this thing happens that is out of her control, which is her baby gets sick, right? And she is not dealing with that very well.
Yes.
Okay. And then now comes the doctor. Lady Patch Adams, our pediatric surgeon, who is, you know, quirky and is, you know, the complete opposite of her, right? Is like friendly and, you know, has, you know, like a has a sense of humor, like, you know, still very confident in what she does, but like, you know, like again, like it's like, you know, she got, you know, like a our main character looks down on her.
Yeah.
Right. And there and now she is in the she's the first time she's ever had to be the patient.
Yeah.
Right. And then she is being the neurotic mother. She's being and she doesn't like this. She doesn't like this surgeon at all.
She doesn't
like,
trust her. She thinks
I want
she's
Dr. Carruthers. You know, she's a real baby surgeon. You know, like I want to, you know, like she might try to, she's trying to get her fired. Right. Yeah. Could be like the first thing. She goes to the hospital administrator being like, this woman doesn't know what she's doing. Like, I don't want her anywhere near my baby. Blah, blah, blah.
You have that
blah,
scene
blah,
where she takes her baby and she's literally going to fly to like, you know, Switzerland or something. Yeah. She finds out about this doctor. And then like the surgeon again, like who is like, she's like, renegade, wild, doesn't play by the rules, like literally gets like is at the airport, like shows up at the airport, is like, you gotta trust me, like if you put if you bring that kid to Switzerland, it's not gonna help, like let me do my job. And mm-hmm. like,
so just a, yeah, so point of order then, would it be that like the whatever the disease the baby has makes it so that like they can't move it or something, so that's why, like, because like, right, it's like if it's her kid, you have the choice of a doctor.
Yeah, but I would do that. I think she's a person who does research and stuff. And, like, I think she's informed. I think she figures out, like, you know, right? She knows all the top people in this medical industry. And, mm-hmm. like, the administrator, whoever, is like, after all stuff, is like, this is the best doctor. This is the best surgeon for this disease. It's the only person who's – this is a disease that has a 4% success rate, like a success rate.
There's a specialist who knows about it.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then when she meets her, she's – doesn't like her and she's wary of her. And at first it's just like a little bit weird, but then when she starts seeing the way she's treating her child, like she starts, you know, and something rubs her the wrong way and she starts asking people and they're like, you just gotta let her do her thing. Like she's a little unorthodox, but this is what she does. But it should be something personal that's also rubbing her the wrong way, which is what they overcome. I don't know. Yeah.
This is tropey.
Mm-hmm.
You do. They're like, Doctor. I was going to be like Dr. Osborne, which I think is just the bad guy in Doc Ock. Is that Doc Ock? No, that's Otto Octavius. Norman Osborn's the Green Goblin. Anyway, you know, she's like, the guy's like, this doctor so-and-so, Dr. Carruthers, is the best baby surgeon in the world. Like, we're going to bring her in. She's like, she sounds fantastic. Bring her in. And then, oh, shit, it's her old flame who got married and changed her name.
Okay.
And then she's like, hold on a damn second. You're not going anywhere near my baby, right? Because, like, I remember you were a fuck up in medical school. And, like, maybe you do, like, they were at the hospital together when they were, whatever, they were rookie surgeons.
Yeah, rookies.
Back in the day.
Back when they were in the little leagues.
She saw this girl, she saw a doctor baby surgeon fuck up some big procedure or something that. Like, way back in the day. And she's like, oh, no, like, she doesn't trust her. But it's also because she broke her heart.
Okay. I mean, she could just be, I mean, okay, this is where I'm ignorant, but I'm saying you could even do, because again, now I'm like, do you do that this woman is like lying and like has a husband, or can you just do that she's married to another woman?
She's married to another woman.
She's taking her last name.
She's taking the other name, yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's just do that. So she's never gotten over her. She's never had a real relationship since this breakup.
Yes. There you go. Now we're cooking with gas.
And this, yes, this was her first love.
And then this was her first love. But then again, I think you
do.
The
first cut is the deepest.
Dr. Baby Surgeon, MD, her wife, whose name she had the combined last name with, has died. And oh, she's.
No, is sick. Hasn't died yet. You know what?
There's so many sick people.
Oh, that's true.
Listen, we're in a hospital.
Why would he get rid of the drama? It's like she should still be in the relationship.
Okay,
that's more dramatic
than
if she's just open.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, these two people should
start
fucking.
It's like a His Girl Friday type thing.
Yeah,
like, our neurosurgeon is Cary Grant. She's Rosalind Russell.
Yeah.
And then you have...
Or Casablanca. She's with somebody else now.
Yeah, like you're... Yeah.
Okay, so let's give names so we can say... Okay, Carruthers...
I don't know.
Carruthers.
Carruthers is my favorite, like, old-timey sounding last name.
Last name? So what's her? Sally Carruthers.
Lisa Carruthers.
Lisa Carruthers. And our main character?
Artemis Blades. Like, what an absurd
Artemis,
name.
Artemis Blades.
Carruthers.
Carruthers. What an insane
last
name.
Oh, no. It's
got to
be a combination of two names. I like that.
Don't they just sometimes make up their own name?
Yeah, but they're not going to just make up Carruthers.
Yeah, it's Carrie and Ruthers.
This article I'm in is like, but the example is two last names, Caulfield and Stansbury. They became the Stansfields.
Okay, Lisa Stansfield.
Lisa Stansfield.
Okay. Artemis Blade.
Blade. Lisa Stansfield, right? And she used to be Lisa Stanley, and then she married someone whose name's Caulfield. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Artemis Blade.
Yes.
Artemis Blade, she got her... Okay, Artemis Blade got her soul, got her heart crushed by Lisa Stansfield, which we'll figure out in a second. Mm-hmm. And that heartbreak has... She put up a wall, and she put her entire life and heart into her work.
Yeah.
And that's all she does. She's married to the job. Yeah. That's all she does. And she wants it all. In fact... Again, when she first met Lisa, it was like, this is the first person when she met. She's like, I could see having a child with this person. Like, I want to have a family with her. I love her. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point in her life, she realized she didn't have it all, but what she really was missing was the love of Lisa. But that's what she's like, I don't need Lisa. Again, I've set myself up this whole life. I don't need Lisa. I'm just going to have a kid myself. Like, that's fine. I have everything I want. I want a kid. I'm going to have a kid. So she has this baby. And yes, she's controlled her whole life. She's figured out she's never lost, essentially. And as you said, like, she defies God every day, and yet some things are out of her control, and her kid is very, very sick.
Yes.
And since she's wealthy and is connected, and she knows all the doctors at Harvard or whatever.
Get me the best.
Get me the best.
Yeah.
And they say the person.
All the doctors of Harvard.
Yeah. And they say Lisa Stansfield. They bring her in.
She's the top baby surgeon at the Mayo Clinic.
She's the top baby surgeon at the Mayo Clinic.
Across the street from the Mustard Hospital.
He literally starts by like, give me the best pediatric surgeon. And then she's like, hi, I'm Lisa Stansfield. I don't like pediatric surgeon. I'm a baby surgeon because I love no babies. She's like, oh my God, who the fuck is this weirdo?
Well, she knows who she is.
Oh, yeah. Well, when she sees her. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's not about that she's, again, like, she's a different person, but it's not like, I don't think she calls herself a baby surgeon.
I just need to get the name baby surgeon.
Yeah, that's what she calls her. She's like, yeah, you're a fucking baby surgeon. Ooh.
I was going to say Newsweek has some article like, meet the baby surgeon.
Oh, she was like Cosmo,
the baby surgeon. She's like, and then literally her first quote is like, I find that terminology very offensive. It's pediatric surgeon.
She saved, so when we cut to her, right, that she's in the middle of saving the royal baby.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, she saves the royal baby.
Yeah. She's Dame Lisa Stansfield because she saved the princess baby.
Ooh, she went across. She went overseas and got like a sexy English accent.
Okay, that's
or maybe
what
she's
ready.
Always.
She got a proper accent. She
got
did.
A proper accent. Just full on Cockney. It's like, this is weird. I don't know if I've ever seen a Harlequin, a romance movie with one person with just a heavy Cockney accent.
Okay. So Artemis Blade,
just like full Statham.
All right. So
the end of your first act is essentially her meeting.
Yes.
Lisa Stansfield, realizing it's her. That's.
Yeah, it's like, shika, shika, what?
And she turns around and she looks at the administrator. She's like, give me another surgeon. And she walks away. He's like, what was that about?
Yeah. Okay. And then so end of act two, such as it is going to be her being like, all right, you can fix my baby. But
okay, this baby is very much a plot device. Sorry, Courtney, but the baby.
Oh, I'm sorry if this is offensive to babies and, who can't hear our podcast.
And
nor should they.
And
they should be listening to Mozart.
So end of act one is, meets Lisa.
Yes.
End of act two is, go ahead and fix my baby. But I still don't like you. And your wife sucks, and your life looks
miserable.
And
you don't know what you're doing.
You don't know what you're doing. You suck.
Okay.
Act three is just freaking 40 minutes of hardcore baby surgery. Just like the most like rock and roll, just like set to heavy metal, just like pure, like, damn, dude.
This does give me here. Now this is all right. Now this does trip me up because now what happens in the movie?
Well, that's why
is she just sit around worrying about the baby?
Yeah, no, you need the. That's why you need the. It's tough because I feel like the end of act two would be like they have a kiss. And then it's like, okay, you can fix my baby, and she walks away upset or something. Like it feels like there'd be something. Like you'd
you
have
need
to,
the
get
romance the, to get
you
started,
the romance to get started.
You got to rev that romance engine. It can't just be like
you
got to
do
drama.
A scene where the two of them are riding motorcycles in the rain, right? Like you got to do like a like
it's
the,
very dangerous.
I know, but they're dangerous.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's very good.
Does Artemis not want to show that she's still hurt? So it's like
All right. There's going to be a big gala at the hospital, right? There's going to be the hospital ball, right?
Well, she goes to
a fundraising.
Okay,
it's
so
a fundraising
all right,
ball.
So immediately the first thing is like, I have to show that I'm not still broken up over her, right? Yeah, like on an emotional level.
I'm going to go meet your wife and be cool about it, and I'm going to come in my sexiest dress and be as cool as possible and show everybody I'm doing okay. And also that, show everybody, like, I'm fine. You know, I'm holding in there with my baby. I'm not, not affecting
and then
me.
All right, so then you do, it's also like whoever she's having this casual relationship with, right? Like, she's never actually been on a date with the person.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and it's like, again, it's the, and what?
Sorry, I just had an insane image in my head, which is like, at some point, maybe like something, like she like loses her confidence in her ability as a surgeon.
Mm-hmm. And then, oh, like, that's good, actually.
And that, because it's like, you know, she's getting so white. and then Stan's, Lisa's like, let me show you how to do surgery. And it's a scene like from Ghost where she's like behind guiding her hands, but there's like a human being like totally just opened up there. It's like, doom, 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 and just like guiding her hands and like holding, like sensually caressing her scalpel hand as she like makes like just...
I will say I do like that idea. I don't know about doing it literally like Ghost, but I do like the idea that she's in the middle of a surgery and something goes wrong. Either she starts crying or handshaking because, again, it's like she just got bad news about her child or something. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, you can take the day off. She's like, fuck that. No, I'm not. And then she's doing the surgery and something goes wrong. And like they call in somebody and Lisa literally happens to be walking by and she just scrubs up and comes in and takes over the job for her.
But like, I can see something like that.
Not in the middle of surgery.
Could you do...
Sorry, I just cracked up so hard.
I'm going to throw... All right, here's a small flag on the play I'm going to throw. Like, the... Like, if you're going to talk His Girl Friday, right?
Yeah.
Like...
You have mobsters.
Well, no.
Totally with you. Mobsters.
Got it. You have Nazis. We are missing a...
No, just hold on. Finish my fucking thought, please. Thank you. Cary Grant wants Rosalind Russell back.
Yeah.
Like... Rick wants Ilsa back.
Yeah.
Like, does she need to want? I don't know. It's just tough because I feel like it's like you just have like, as like we're trying to do a romantic comedy, but neither of them want to get with each other. One of them's married and the other one like is angry at her and doesn't want to be in a relationship with her.
Yeah.
So like that seems like a recipe for disaster, right? And then you got this bummer baby thing fucking hanging over it. Like, it's like, and her baby's dying. Like, it's like, is she worried about romance at all? Her fucking baby's going to die.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds like a pretty miserable movie as opposed to the five-person orgy that was going on before.
Just bear with me. This is the same fucking movie, though. Yeah. Just bear with, like, that's where I was like, do we introduce the baby thing later in the movie? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you save that for, like, act four, shit's getting real? Do you know what I mean?
So the hospital is hiring a new baby surgeon.
A new baby surgeon. The best baby surgeon in the land, and it's her old flame.
And
then,
yes, it would be the end of
act. She has no choice in it because the hospital's decision.
Yeah, and they bump it into each other all the time.
The big low point act four thing is that her baby gets sick.
Yeah.
Or end of act three. But yes, end of act three would be, like... Whatever's happened, all of a sudden her baby is sick now, and she
It coincides with like a rift in their relationship.
I mean, what do they get back together, and she cheats on her wife, and it's like the relationship falls apart right when she finds out.
Yeah, exactly.
Her baby is sick.
It times up with that. Yeah.
Yes. Does that make more sense?
Yes. I mean, that gives something to happen in Act 4.
Yeah,
and
you know, because I'm
sure.
just like,
so,
I can't do all this hospital gala and like the you know, intense locker room glaring and this competitive streak that they're going to have with each other. Like all that tension, all that fun tension does not really play with a fucking sick baby hanging on the movie like a sword of fucking Damocles.
Like a goddamn plot guillotine.
The whole time. Chekhov's baby.
Every time a scene is happening, the whole audience is like, what's up with the baby?
Is the
okay?
baby
Dude,
okay?
Stop flirting and fix the baby. Come on.
I'm really concerned.
You guys
about this
could
baby.
Be taking this time and doing surgeries, medicine.
Yeah.
10 minutes remaining, boys.
Act three would be okay. So just act three is their relationship rekindles. We need to get into what the drama of that is, but just so I get a sense.
Lisa left.
Yeah, Lisa broke her heart.
So act one, act one is no longer the baby getting sick. Act one is Lisa shows up. They're hiring a new baby. A baby surgeon.
We need the best baby in the world at this hospital.
They're hiring a new baby surgeon.
He was the top baby.
It's Lisa. I don't know what act two is. Act three would be their relationship starts rekindling, and then it falls apart again. They reopen old wounds, and then she finds out her baby is sick. And she needs to go to Lisa, or she doesn't want to, or Lisa can't bring herself to work on her baby or whatever it is. What I was going to say is, well, Casablanca.
Okay, I'm going to throw one other thing in there. I think she adopted a baby.
Okay.
Plot wise, like you're going to have like a 9-month pregnant woman, like.
No, I was going to say, or she just had these, or they didn't know her baby. She could think her baby's healthy at first. And then it's like her baby gets diagnosed.
Here's, I guess, what I'm asking. Yeah. Okay, so she gives, she gives birth in like act one.
Yes.
Okay, again,
she just had a baby.
Yeah, so she either, again, like she is.
She gets the because she just had a baby, does some research on the hospital that she's working in, pediatric surgeon, and she gets that person fired because she's like, now that I have a baby, I'm taking a closer look, and this fucking surgeon we have sucks. And the administrator's like, we can't fire her. He's like, get her out of here. I want a different surgeon. They're like, fine. And they go and they hire the best one, and ta-da, it's Lisa. Like, she's kind of responsible. You know, she's like such a like a fussy like new mom that she like goes to the pediatrician and she hates them kind of like, and then gets her fired or whatever. And then that way it's like her, you know, sure, kind of mean personality is kind of the karmic cause for. Anyways, whatever. Lisa shows up.
Okay.
If we just said that the three characters of Casablanca are three characters, it's kind of a movie. Because here's the problem with Just Like the Love was just like, it is like.
Go ahead. Just tell me what you're thinking.
No, it's like the without like multiple, like without multiple kind of like breakups and stuff. It's like in terms of trying to figure out like what the thrust of this is. It's like, what's the conflict? Otherwise, it's just, I mean, it's just like two people.
Yeah, I know. Like Casablanca. I'm slowly making the movie more boring. I apologize.
No, it's what I'm trying to think. But there could be, like, again, like Casablanca, if it was just they meet up again and they're trying to figure out if they love each other or not. But it's like,
Nazis.
Yeah, it's the fact that they're like, Nazis are coming.
Okay. All right. We got to throw some Nazis into this thing.
Okay. I like. Look, the setup of this lady getting.
Again, to go back to kind of my toe holds here in this this sheetrock ice wall of a story we're trying to climb over.
Yeah.
Hotshot surgeon has it all. Either adopts a baby or gives birth. She's got a baby now. The baby, you know, melts her heart. She's, you know, again, it's like she cares a lot about the baby. She's this perfectionist. The baby gets sick and she's like, fuck, what am I going to do? Right. Yeah. Here comes the baby surgeon. Right. And then that is like your thing. Like, I'm like, let's just try out.
Can I attempt something?
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry.
I like to attempt a solve.
This is literally, I mean, all I've been doing is reading U.S. history. So just bear with me. It's kind of what we've talked about before, but in a different thing. Artemis Blade is a hotshot doctor. She's like one of the main doctors in New York City during the Revolutionary War. It gets occupied by the British. She falls in love with a British soldier's wife, right? So what you also have is, first, it's like this treasonous romance, and she's not allowed to operate anymore. She's stuck behind enemy lines, and she's got to use this British doctor, this scumbag doctor, right, that she hates. She's part of the British, is going to have to take care of her baby. But she's taking care of her baby because she realizes Lisa Stansfield falls in love instantly with Artemis Blade, this forbidden romance. Like, she hates her husband. You'd also do this thing where Artemis Blade at a certain point would find out that her husband, like, she finds out her husband is going to assassinate George Washington. So you also have this other element where it's like, she loves her, but if she does something, it's going to reveal, and then Lisa Stansfield is going to get in trouble because her husband's going to be in trouble for, you know, leaking the information and all stuff. So at least there's like...
And you know, Matt... This fucking guy, Freddie. This fucking guy just fixed our fucking movie. Because I'll tell you why. Oh, man. You guys none of you listening to this know this. Just Matt is going through reading biographies of every single president right now. And so I've just been getting this like sort of secondhand history lesson for months.
Yeah.
All right, this rules. I'll tell you why, because you also do. It's your classic 12th night Artemis Blade. Her dad was this fucking country. Cause they didn't have women surgeons back then. It's like she's her, or did they?
I mean, there was doctors. I mean, definitely like nurses and stuff. But no, I mean the profession of like a doctor, the local doctor, was definitely a man.
She's disguised.
Oh.
Yes. She's in disguise.
There are definitely women both in the Civil War and Revolutionary War that were often disguised as men.
Her father was this brilliant surgeon, and she learned everything from him because she helped him, right? And then the war started, and they're like, you can't fucking be a surgeon. You've got to go.
Her father died on a raid by British officers. Nobody even knew he was dead because it was just her and her father at home. British officers came by, burned down the house, killed her husband, she escaped. Killed her father, she escaped. Nobody knows her father's dead, so she still has...
His
name. So she disguises herself as her father. She uses her father's information and goes to New York to help the war effort because she hates the British so much. And then she falls in love with a British officer's wife.
Yes.
Okay. This got so saucy. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. You thought that this was going to be a boring podcast. Yeah. Now it's saucy again.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. This is, I'm going to throw this one up another way. She was in this passionless marriage to her father's protege.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Stuck. And so she's pregnant with his child. And then, both the son, and both him and she's pretending to be her own dead husband.
Yes.
Because her
good.
Husband got marching orders to go help in the war effort, right? And he's not fucking half the doctor she is.
Yes.
Right? But then both of them get killed and she's like, I'm going to fucking help our boys. And then you have this ticking clock because she's getting pregnant. She finds out she's pregnant and she's becoming pregnant. And that's going to blow the whole deal.
And Under the sky! So yes, and then the final, you literally have the moment where it's like her love is trying to save her baby while Artemis Blade is trying to save the country. He's trying to save George Washington.
Yeah.
It's like, because, Lisa Stansfield lies to her husband, tells her that Artemis Blade, it's a little bit like Handmaid, if you've seen, but it's like lies to her husband that Artemis Blade is a loyalist.
Yeah.
And she keeps her in her house because the baby, she needs constant...
care.
But because she's in this house, she starts learning secrets of the British officer. So she ends up being, there was literally the spy ring of George Washington. So she starts spying on this British officer while she's having an affair with this British officer's
wife. Oh my God.
And then what you do is when the wife finds out this, she doesn't believe she actually loves her. She's like, you're just using me to get to my husband.
No, that's not it.
It's like, that's not it. I do love you.
And but I love this country.
She finds this out right before she's about to do the surgery on the baby. She doesn't even know if she wants to save the baby anymore because she's so furious at this betrayal. She thinks now for a second she doubts. She's like, maybe Artemis Blade is just a American spy who hates the British and just doesn't love me and just was having sex with me to steal secrets of my husband. But no, she knows deep down she loves her. So she saves the baby and she saves George Washington. The end. I don't know exactly how that happens at the end.
I will throw this
one
out.
One minute.
Did they have baby surgery in the Revolutionary War?
Sure.
Yes.
In this, with 2 minutes left, yes, they do. And okay, here's your climax. Here's your climax. Is that she knows, climax, guys. Here's your climax. She knows where, I'm just imagining.
We're all just going to not indulge that orgasm. Thank you.
It is just, which is weird because this isn't about sex, this is about pregnancy.
This is about the Revolutionary War.
It is a carriage ride to save George Washington while she's giving birth. So she's in the back of this carriage.
I thought she was trying to save the baby. I thought the baby was already born at this point. Yeah.
She has got to do surgery. In a bumpy carriage.
While Artemis Blade is having a two-fist punch him up with her husband. A sword fight with her husband on top. Yeah.
While they're riding to save George Washington.
And then you do that both Artemis and this other, the British doctor, right? Because it's a similar situation. Like, they're both skilled with the blade.
Yes.
Your ending shot is she's vanquished her husband. She's and they're sitting there on the edge of the frontier. And she's like, should we keep going? And they got the baby in arm and they ride off into the sunset.
Boom.
And that comes in right under the clock there. 1 hour. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back,
I don't know if we really cracked that story, but I think we've got a.
I think we got.
We definitely yelled a lot at the end and felt good about ourselves.
I think Matt should pitch this. Yes. I think Matt's got the best handle on this.
When we come back, the elevator pitch. Stay tuned.
Following the news is hard and it sucks.
How do you know which stories are important?
Which sources do you trust in this post-truth world of reactionary journalism?
I'm Brett Black.
And I'm Travis McElroy.
And we host a podcast called Trends Like These.
We cover trending news stories.
We debunk misleading clickbait headlines.
And we always try to throw in a little bit of good news.
In our quest for truth!
So join us every week on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome back. Now it is time for the elevator pitch, the part of our podcast where we have approximately 1 minute to try and pitch the insanity of the last hour to, in this case, myself, Mark Hall, CEO of Hallmark Movies Company. Yes, come in.
Hi, Mr. Hall. Mark Hall, I believe.
Yes, that's me, Mark Hall, CEO of Hallmark Company Movies.
Yes, I think I've seen you multiple times at the Pan Express across the street.
Love that orange chicken.
Absolutely, same here. So I wanted to pitch a movie to you. I saw that you, on your website, for some reason, you said that you have a gap in your Valentine's Day
schedule. We do need to fill in that Valentine's Day. It's 12 hours in there that we got to fill in. We don't have enough movies. We're looking for one. What do you got for me?
I got a 5-hour movie for you.
All right, let's hear it.
Because 3 movies is not anywhere near 12 hours. Okay, so I got a movie for you. I got a Revolutionary War.
Revolutionary War. Yes. Oh, you know what? Hold on. I have someone who happens to be an expert in the Revolutionary War. Hey, George. George, could you come in here real quick?
Yes, I'm George. George Washington, that is.
Who's my
father
assistant,
of
George
our country,
Washington?
Your assistant, Mr. Ex-President, hello.
Happiness and moral duty are inseparably connected.
Let's hear your pitch, son.
Well, sir, I'm a big fan, first and foremost. And I have a story that I think you and Martha Washington will enjoy watching by the fireside.
Martha Washington is also real and alive still.
Yeah, good, good. I have a question for you. Would you sacrifice the love of your life for your country, Mr. Washington? Would you sacrifice Martha Washington for your country?
It is a tough question,
It is a tough question, and that is what this movie is about. This is Artemis Blade, a hotshot surgeon. Yet, as you know, in your time, women were allowed to be surgeons. Her husband was the actual surgeon, nowhere near the surgeon she was, though. And yet the evil British came, killed her husband and her father, and left her alone with nothing but a baby in her belly. That's right, she's pregnant. So she flees to New York to do her duty for the country. She wants to help our young men, our young gentlemen, fighting the British. But what she finds there is love itself. That's right, she falls in love with a British officer's wife. And that's about...
You would think that I would be scandalized by such things, but, as I always say, observe good faith and justice towards all nations.
Anyways, you are a star in this movie as well. You need her as a spy, because you need to know what's going on in the New York lines, which means this torrid affair with this officer's wife is perfect for her. She can begin to find out information, including your own assassination. But... she gives birth, and she falls in love with this lady, and this lady is the only one who can save her baby. So she has to decide between the health of her baby and
the fate of her nation.
And the fate of her nation. The end. Hello, Miss. Thank you, Miss. I love your work.
I have some follow-up questions. If you had to put that in, say, a five-act structure, like how would that work?
Your first act would be Artemis Blade is... doing surgery on a horse of their farm, but she hides the fact. The husband comes like, how's this horse walking again? She can't say because it'd be improper for her if you're doing surgery. But you know that she's a surgeon. You know that what she's doing is improper. And the British
cool. I would say maybe you could also do something like a wounded soldier so that
so it's not just like maybe a horse.
So that you kind of also are suggesting the broader conflict of the Revolutionary War.
As opposed to just a horse.
That's just me. But... I'm no screenwriter. I'm just the founding father of our country.
Give yourself some credit, George.
A horse was a nickname for the Tennessee militia. Okay, so he has a wounded officer that she fixes up. And then, the British officers get... that British officer betrays them, identifies where the soldiers, where their house is. The British come, they kill her. The end of the first act is her fleeing to New York
City. They kill her?
They kill everybody but her, and they flee to New York City. The second act is going to be her...
wherein she's posing as a male
posing
doctor,
as a male, posing as her ex-husband. Well, ex, literally, because he's dead. Posing as her dead husband is in New York City. Unfortunately, she gets there right as the British take control of New York City. So now she's trapped behind enemy lines with no way to help her country. And then she comes face to face with our other character, Lisa Stansfield, who is the husband of the wife of a British officer. They have a little bit of chemistry right off the bat. You'd probably do something where she stumbles because something happens with her baby. Right, it's probably what you'd do. She's at a gala. She's trying to figure out what she's going to do next.
Oh, George Washington has an idea.
Yes.
It seems like you could do that, if she gets captured behind enemy lines posing as her husband, it could be like, now she has to take care of British soldiers. And, you know, as this young gentleman is staying in the quarters of the chief surgeon of the British Army, who's your Jason Isaacs character that's married to Lisa Stansfield.
Can I take a moment and talk about George? I've been in this industry for a while, and I gotta say, I've never been to a pitch where the executive actually writes the movie with you. It's very good. I really enjoy this.
This is why we paid George a boatload of ducats. Yeah, that's right. And it's and you're wearing my patience thin, young man.
I think we can pretty much call it.
Yeah,
I'm sold.
We're figuring out the. Yeah, I mean, then you know.
Hey, real quick, George, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I must
thank
go
you,
Mr. back Washington. To my time now and have regressive views on slavery that add a problematic element to my legacy. Goodbye.
And Matt was your name?
Yes.
Get the fuck out of my office.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hall.
There we go. All right. Yet another successful week. One for the record
books,
ladies and
gentlemen.
Don't you
guys want to hear how it went? Hi, Freddie and Will, you're back.
Hey, how'd the pitch go?
Based on your beaming smile, it sounds like
guys,
it went great.
when perfect. I didn't stumble at all. They both loved it. We got the movie sold.
Wow, finally.
Yeah, right? All right.
Yet another one to the growing list. Thank you, everybody, for joining us yet again for another week of story-filled buffoonery. Want to give a quick shout-out to all the folks leaving good iTunes reviews for us. Very much appreciate that. And also, real quick, to the people who have submitted their names to the Rocket Jump Story Break Twitter. Thanks, Cordy. We'll figure you out for another one. What was that, Will? You got something?
Oh, I was just going to say shout-out to R. Alistair Brown once more for our fantastic Super Mario poster. This ain't no game being the tagline in that one. It came out really well.
So I like that one because if you look in the corner, Mario's dabbing.
Mario is dabbing in this poster, which was something
which makes it very
explore,
topical. But... very topical poster there.
Yeah.
You can follow us at RJ Story Break for some very good poster art that gets generated by our loving, adoring fans. Thank you all so much.
And thank you for all those new 5-star reviews, which both make us feel good and help us on the iTunes chart, which is very important. And yeah, so that makes us feel great.
Finally, thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on their podcast network. You can go to MaximumFun.org and listen to a whole bunch of other real good shows that are in our company. So, and you know what? The sign-off should have you guys in there, too. So until next week, this is...
Story.
Break.
The
Break!
There, that's it.
Podcasts.
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 They're audio programs that
tell smart stories
in innovative ways
using editing techniques like this.
Like this.
Like this.
Like this.
Like this.
But let's face it, all that smart stuff can be exhausting.
That's where Stop Podcasting Yourself comes in.
It's so stupid.
It's just two stupid dinguses
being dumb idiot jerks for 90 minutes.
Stop Podcasting Yourself.
The stupid show that smart people love.
Find it on iTunes.